Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and today and for the next few days, I'm over at Lake of the Ozarks at Lake Breeze Resort, and I'm with Frank Hajicek. We're at the 2024 LOZ Fish Camp. It's a great, great camp put on by Big Mike Jones from Mississippi and Brad Wigman. I think he's from Arkansas. But, Frank, we had quite a day out on the lake today.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I think, that normally in the springtime there's a lot more fish. Not sure what's going on. You know, we have cold front coming in, so that might have moved some fish around.
Well, you sound like it might have been a little bit of a bad day. I thought it was an awesome day.
Yeah, my expectations, it was not that good, but, we caught fish.
Absolutely. It was a good time. But, of course, I'll call you a professional crappie fisherman. You don't like that term, I don't think, but you call yourself something else. What was that term you used today?
Just tournament angler and guide.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty big title. You know, it puts a lot of weight on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And you've been at this crappie fishing business for quite some time.
Yeah, I've been crappie fishing all my life, and 2011 bought my first boat, and then got into tournament fishing at the state level in Kansas while I was stationed at Fort Riley, and then started in Crappie Masters, and then just went from there. A couple years ago, started, branching out and fishing Crappie USA and then American Crappie Trail and then now the National Crappie League. And I've won a tournament in all four of those and won a national classic at Crappie USA in South Carolina. And
quite a resume if you ask me.
Yeah, it's a passion for competing and, just enjoy it and I love the competition and then the camaraderie between the anglers, too.
Well, it takes kind of a special person, I think, to like all of those things. Because competition is pretty tough. And when you get in the fishing industry, it really gets tough. Because I think, it's just millions and millions of young people out there. That's a dream of theirs to make a living fishing,
Yeah.
And I think you can verify how tough that is.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, here the last couple of years I've been going through boat problems and, not only that's more money, that's less opportunity to fish, whether guiding or tournament. I've 2 years ago, I think, at this tournament here on this Lake of the Ozarks, I had to borrow somebody's boat to fish the day one until mine got fixed. So,
oh, boy. And, of course, we know the boats these days, there's so many gizmos on them. There's just tons of opportunities for something to go wrong.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the stuff we're running between the electronics, the trolling motors, the boat itself. Yeah, I mean, the motors now compared to my first boat was a 1993. You open that motor cover and you can see everything in it. Now, I had some codes going on with my motor and it was like, move this sensor to find this sensor,
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, that's all pretty complicated. Let's talk about what happened today.
Yeah. Today, we ran up to the lake, quite a bit there. We drove up it and then, ran about 7 miles and to a place where I fished in the spring, a lot more other species than crappie than what I'm used to, we caught, 10 to 20 drum today, I think.
Oh, gobs of them.
Yeah.
Lots of drum.
And they're just floating out there, just what I'm used to with the crappie. And more of the crappie were on cover today.
Yeah, a lot of them right on the bottom as well.
Yep.
Well, I kind of chuckled. You kept saying, well, there's carp. And then you're pulling crappie right out of the middle of me. Is that unusual?
No. I think crappie, they're going to be on the structure anyways. And, sometimes carp likes getting on the structure and, if crappie sees it's carp, they're not really going to move unless they're forced to by the carp. You know, one, they're going to use that for protection too. So, you know, from predators like the big old flathead we caught today.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise. I thought you were pulling my leg there for the first couple of minutes. You set the hook. I really thought you was going to swing a, you know, 2.5 pound crappie out of there, but you kind of stuck in place for a short period of time.
It looked like a crappie sitting on that tree and, you know, just missed one right above it and, it hit. And then I thought for a second I was snagged until I seen it moving on my live scope.
I did too, because it didn't move. Was it wrapped around the limb at first, you think, or what?
I think it was just so big that
sitting there.
Yeah, it might have had, the line might have been on one of the limbs, but luckily I was able to get it out of there and fight it into the boat.
Well, that was what, a 15-minute battle or more?
It was quite some time.
I felt quite a bit of that. That was pretty interesting to watch, and I kept thinking, man, my mind was telling me catfish, you know, but I wasn't so sure you didn't have a big turtle. a few minutes, because boy, that rod certainly had a bend in it, and of course trying to work it up out of that treetop or whatever it was, you know. But it took you forever first to get that fish up to where we could see it. You got close several times, but then you could hear that reel singing a little bit, and down go right back down.
Luckily I had I had a mad crappie jig head on with a thick salmon hook, you know. I mean, I think a light wire hook would probably
doubt about it, because it, I don't know, in my estimation, that was a 35 to 40-pound flathead.
Yeah.
As long as your leg.
Yeah, I don't have a skill on the boat that's big enough to weigh that. And don't catch crappie about that. Yeah, it wouldn't have fit in a live well, so we'd have
to keep it on the floorboard. Well, it didn't fit in the net the first time. half of it was still out of the net when you drug it up in the boat. But, that was a great deal of excitement. Made some great photos, too. It's been a long time since I've got photos of a big flathead, you know. So now I'll have to. I'll have to post that up on social media. I already have, as a matter of fact, you know, brag about my good catfishing buddy. But what a good time we had out there today. And you found fish, and it was, what, about 9-10 feet of water?
Yes. Yeah. So that didn't change at all. Just finding those bigger 14-plus-inch fish, just didn't see them today. They might have been buried in the mud. You know, there was a lot of fish that you could see in the mud, sitting, swimming. You know, it's hard to pick out what that is. You just got to drop a bait on there and see. A lot of times it's going to be a drum or a catfish.
Well, it was really interesting, though, as you moved around and worked the structure and everything a little bit, the size of the fish kept creeping upward, and it took a huge jump with the catfish.
Yeah, that was a good thing. You know, we started out with one right around 9 inches, and next thing, 10, 11.
Yeah.
I think our biggest one was about 13 and a half today.
Yeah, but it sure had some shoulders on it. You know, it's amazing from that 10-inch mark up to that 13, 14-inch mark, how much thicker they get, you know.
Yeah.
Makes a whole lot nicer fillet.
Yeah, there's definitely a big, big difference in their build when – you know, just an inch or two, but.
Well, the size limit here on Lake of the Ozarks is 9 inches.
Yes, 9 inch and 15 per person.
Yeah. Well, boy, that 9 inch, it looks almost a little bit small. That fillet's not going to be very thick, but the difference even 9-11 inches, there's a lot more meat on that fillet.
Definitely.
Yeah. But boy, what fun to watch you work today and watch the electronics. You know, that's something I'm not, very well versed in, but the electronics has made quite a difference in the crappie fishing world, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, now we can see the fish in the water. You know, it's still a sonar, but you know, it gives you a better picture, and you know, it's helped us through the years identifying patterns and behaviors and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of times you can tell the difference between a crappie and a drum, because, you know, usually drum are nose down swimming and crappie are either straight or nosed up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you can't pick out which end's which, you don't know if it's swimming down or swimming up. So.
Well, did it take you a long time to learn how to use those electronic cranks, or did you?
No.
Not too long, huh?
Yeah, I got it pretty quick. You know, I bought it February 2019. I was only fishing Crappie Masters that time. We fished 9 tournaments for the year, and it was your best 6 tournaments for angler of the year, and our 6th tournament of the year for the points was tied for 6. We got a win at Lake Fork, tied for 2nd, 3rd, and 2 5ths, I believe. And I think 9 of our tournaments of the 10 tournaments was top 10 finishes for the year.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
Pretty good season.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great season. We only finished 4th for angler of the year. I mean, that's how tough the competition was.
Wow.
Yeah. We actually were tied for 3rd going in the championship, and it was a tiebreaker, and Eric Cagle got 5th and we got 8th. So.
Well, that's the way it goes sometime, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what a field of people. What are some of the names you fished with during those tournaments or fished against?
I fished against the best of the best. So, yeah. You know, Matthew Rogers, Josh Jones, Hayden Jeffries. You know, at some point in my fishing career, I've beat each one of them. You know, majority of the time, you know, they would win. But, you know, that just pushed me because, you know, one, they're younger by, you know, about 20 years. And, you know, it gets harder to stay, you know, on the electronics and working your boat and everything that you got to do as you get older. So, you know, every time they beat me, you know, it was like, all right, you know, now I'm going to try to get them at the next tournament and just keep improving myself. And,
oh, boy, you got to hang in there and keep working with those young guys because, I'm a lot older than you, and being 75 years old, you know, I look at all those electronics and things, and, of course, guys like Matthew Rogers, you know, they probably started kindergarten with a computer in their hand, you know.
Yeah.
Their minds are just quite different than ours. And these young people are extremely sharp, and particularly when they come to these electronics, social media, and all that stuff. And I sometimes think I should go to some of their classes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you can't teach an old dog new tricks. No. <you know?
laughs> Yeah. I mean, I grew up with the original Atari, and, you know, I mean, I remember in 6th grade, we had, you know, the big computers, you know, playing Oregon Trail and stuff. And
my goodness, that just blows my mind. Of course, first computers I saw when I was in college, I think graduate school, working on a keyboard, you know, and the computer was 10 blocks away and filled a room about 20 by 30.
Yeah,
one computer.
Yep.
And oh man, was I ever glad and all that mess was over, because I've never wanted to see another computer. And then went to the Army, first thing they offered me was 18 months of computer classes.
Yeah.
I said, no thanks. Might have been a bad call.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even, you know, in the Air Force from 1998 till when I retired in 2019, just the advancements in radios, you know, it started out with big giant radio. It, you know, we carried, as a young airman, I carried 2 of them in my rucksack with, you know, each one had 2 batteries apiece, and now they got these little bricks that does the same thing, from satellite communications down to, you know, talking to the aircraft and talking to the Army. So,
Wow. Well, do you remember, Frank, the days when, you know, of course, the military had the mapping, GPS, and all that long before we did as civilians, but do you remember when all that went public and they started putting it on the bass boats?
Yeah.
Remember all the crashes that happened?
Yeah.
A lot of people run up on the bank in the dark, because that original stuff was what? Accurate within 100 yards or some crazy figure like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely, for civilian use, doesn't.
Yeah. It didn't work out so well at first.
Pinpoint accuracy. Yeah.
But a lot of money made improving that situation, though.
Yes.
For sure. For sure. Well, Frank, man, we had a great morning together, but we're going to take just a short break here. But folks, don't go away. We got some pretty exciting stuff to talk about yet in the second segment of Living Your Dream Outdoors podcast. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors podcast with Phil Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Hindman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I hope you joined us for that first segment with Frank Hidasek over at Lake of the Ozarks. We're at Lake Breeze Resort. We're at the 2024 Lake of the Ozarks Fish Camp put on by the great big Mike Jones out of Mississippi. He's got a buddy called Brad Wigman out of Arkansas, and these guys are quite a team, and they're putting these fish camps on all over the country, I guess. Mike Jones was telling us yesterday he's already put 25,000 miles on his truck this year just going to these fish camps. So yeah. busy boy. But Mike Jones, he's kind of like Santa Claus. He's everywhere, you know.
Yeah,
and he's a hustler. I was looking at, we got a t-shirt in front of us here with the list of sponsors for this event. It's incredible. I don't know if I've ever seen so many sponsors for one event.
Yeah, you probably have a segment just naming all of them off.
Almost could, but I'm going to do them a good favor of reading these off right quick. Of course, Tri-County Lodging Association right here at the Lake of the Ozark, Lake Breeze Resorts, Tri-County Tourism, the Branding Iron, National Crappie League, Redneck Adventure TV Show, Mid-South Broadcasting, Everhart Outdoors, that's a familiar name, Bass Pro Shops, everybody knows them. In fact, you got a shirt covered up in Bass Pro logos. Sweet Heat for Your Meat, One South Wholesale, Miss Emma's Dust, Team Clements, Milltown Barbecue. We've had some of that already. Those guys from Wisconsin, right? Yep. Baiting Things Outdoors, that's Mississippi. Crappieholic Apparel and Guide Service, Pico Lures, Vanguard Tackle, B&M Poles, Convention and Sons Tackle, that's Covington and Sons Tackle, Brad Wigman Photography, Mike Jones Redneck Adventures Roving, Captain Ron's Thumper Jigs, Hoagie Jigs, Show Me Baits, Miss Missouri Outdoors, Joel Harris Crappie Fishing Guides, Wildlife Overdose, Crappie Cowboy, Rip and Lip Guide Service, Milltown Barbecue, Wild Skies Taxidermy, Eastern Jig Company, Rambling Angler, Southern Me and Sweet Tea. Now say that five times fast. Make Life Juicy out of Natchez, Mississippi. Frank Hidasek. I butcher your name sometimes, Frank. You'll have to forgive me.
That's fine.
His guide service, Slabbing Mike Meeks Guide Service, Harvey Horn Guide Service, Happy Hollow Outdoors, and Challenge Ministry Kettle Corn. Now, that's a lot of sponsors, boy. Mike's been in the outdoor business, I guess, for decades and decades. But out there with you today, Frank, you know, you got quite the boat. It's what brand of boat is that?
It's a Camus CX-21. From Mid-Kansas Marine.
The latest and greatest, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it is.
it's amazing what you guys hit the water with these days.
Yeah.
But I watched you today work your equipment up, and again, I was just astounded that you landed a 40-pound catfish on a crappie rod, and the hook was what fascinated me so, because once I figured out how big that fish sort of was, I thought, it's going to go away soon, because I've hooked catfish or a big bass or something on a crappie jigs, and what do you pull out of the water? A straight hook.
Yeah. I mean, my last tournament up in Kansas for the National Crappie League, I was using light wire hooks, you know, from Mad Crappie Jigs. Had to make me up some, which, you know, I got earlier this year, which I hardly ever use because, you know, we started going to the big, thick salmon hooks, and
Let me ask why. Why would you go to a big, thick salmon hook if you're crappie fishing?
You know, normally because with today's technology, we see the fish. We're setting the hook right as soon as they bite, and, you know, we want it to penetrate and keep it in them, you know, where, you know, a lot of times a light wire hook might not, you know, might bend when it tries to go in and might not get a good hook set. You know, I mean, you know, light wire hooks, it was a lot of times spider rigging where the fish grab it and you're not setting the hook right away, you know, so you kind of want it to just ease in there. You know, now today, you know, we're seeing it almost real time when they're biting. So,
gotcha. Well, of course, I'm not a tournament angler, but I grew up in the swamps of Southeast Missouri. And of course, we, pretty poor people, and every hook counted, you know, so we used that light wire hook. I'd stick it in a willow branch underwater quite often, you know. Hey, we just pull on that hard enough to kind of straighten it out, get it off, take a pair of pliers, bend her back up in shape. Yeah. We were back in business again. But different story when you're a tournament angler and you're fishing competition trying to win a few bucks. Losing one fish could make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, it's usually a difference between finishing the money and not. You know, I mean, you know, my experience, you lose a fish here and there, you know, you're not winning the tournament. You know, most of my wins have come where everything's worked out perfect. You know, haven't lost fish, being in the right place at the right time, being lucky sometimes. Yeah, you know, I mean,
hey, luck counts, good, bad, or otherwise.
Yeah, there's a lot of anglers don't like hearing that, but I mean, you got to have some luck on your side to win a tournament with the competition we have.
Yeah, and like I say, you're splitting hairs at times, Ben, and I'm sure you've seen it happen many, many times all the years you've been competing and been out there on the water. Probably some tears shed sometime when it comes down to that hairline stuff. Somebody beat you by an ounce or something. You know?
Oh, 100. There's been. American crappie trill back in 2021. Clay Gann, they lost the national championship by 0.01 pound. Yeah.
So, you're kidding.
No.
Wow.
So, and there's been other tournaments where it's been that close.
Now, if that were me and I lost by that much, I know how it would affect me. I'd be laying awake at night. No. Man, if I'd just done this instead of that, you know,
yeah,
it would have made the difference in the paycheck. But that's competition. That's what it's all about. But, Frank, as I watched you today, you know, you used several baits and you rigged them a certain way. Tell us about the rigging on your rod and what you're using.
Yeah, I'm not sponsored by a rod company, but I was mainly using the Todd Huckabee 18-foot carnivore today. Kind of like it. It's got weights in the back, make it, you know, not feel as heavy. You know, and it's got that 18 foot reach. So, you know,
you got a lot of cantilever out there. Well, I was thinking about that day. I kept thinking of watching you. And either he's pumping iron or his arms are getting tired, you know, but a counterbalance weight in the butt of the rod.
Yes.
No. Now, see, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So it makes it a lot more manageable. You know, of course, you get into windy situations, you know, it doesn't really matter. 18 foot rod's going to feel heavier swaying around.
Oh, absolutely. That's a long, long rod.
Yeah, but I had the, I had 25-pound canine braid on, and then a lot of times I'm using 14 to 17-pound fluoro. But like with that catfish, I had that 25-pound 9-strand braid and paired up with a Mad Crappie jig with that salmon hook and a ProTuff bait, you know, and that's the reason why I got that catfish in, you know.
Oh, it didn't straighten the hook. And the thing is, you wallowed around there for quite some time, too. I thought y'all was going to part company for sure, you know.
Yeah.
I was just shocked when that all worked out. But I was sure glad to see that big fish. Beautiful pictures. But what about the jigs you were using today?
Yeah, like I said, you know, the plastics was a ProTuff Baits. It's Cliff Baumus. He makes about three different versions of plastics. They're a lot different than most bait companies in their design. I was using the regular 2-inch. He's got one that's a little bit smaller called the B-Bomb. You know, use that a lot, but, you know, I started off with a big 2¾-inch that he doesn't really sell, but it's a, you know, it's a tube jig. and then I was getting some short strikes, so I downsized.
I noticed you clipped a little bit off the front of it.
Yeah, and even with that 2-inch, I had to clip the top piece, and then there at, you know, midday, I had to clip some of the tail because they were just some of them would hit it hard, but they just weren't wanting to get the whole thing in them. So
yeah, just kind of nibbling at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the cold front moving in.
Probably.
They're just not wanting to move too much.
Well, what about the color combination you used today?
Yeah, it was the same one that I'd been using the last couple tournaments. I used at the Crappie Masters National Championship to jump from 30th to 11th on Championship Saturday. And that helped me get third for Angler of the Year. But it's kind of a clear with a little bit of green in it. And then it's got a chartreuse tail.
Chartreuse is always good, it seems like.
Yeah, and I had them in a plastic bag. I had them make me 2 years ago when I really liked using that color combination and kind of went away from it. And at the championship, I found them. You know, I was using minnows, and these fish weren't wanting to bite it. And I was like, okay, you know, usually at that point, it's either downsize or go bigger. And so I went bigger and tipped it with a minnow and you know, those fish were like, okay, now it's worth my time to bite. You know, I got two baits.
Changed
right
their
here.
Attitude. Yep. Well, I noticed later in the day you added a little nibble to the bait.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, with a tough bite. It's easy drift. It's a reaction bait balls. It's infused scent into a little plastic ball. The one I was using had shad scent in it. They make all different kinds, you know, for trout and he's working on some bass and stuff like that. So,
and a very unique, I met this guy, I think, over at Real Foot Lake a few months ago, and he actually gave me we talked about his baits a little bit, and he asked me if I thought they'd work for trout, and I said, absolutely, if you make the baits in brown, look like brown feed pellets, you know, they work. The pink worked extremely well on the trout as well. But he's got a neat little tool for dispensing those baits.
Yeah,
describe that.
It's a bait pen. So right now the bait balls come in tubes. You can stick them right in the bait pen, squeeze them in there, and then the bait pen, you can push them up and just put your hook right through it and get it on there. And you know,
they can split.
Yeah, and just with the plastic, there's no mess with a lot of the other type of nibbles and stuff that they have on the market. They last forever. You can cut them and customize them. You know, there's times where I've cut them in half, you know, when I'm using a real small plastic bait and putting it on the hook. I've put the ball on before I've put the plastic on the hook. You know, especially if I'm using a shad type of plastic, to me, it just makes it seem like, you know, that shad's trying to eat that little bait ball. And then, so, you know, the crappie, you're going to be like, well, he's, you know, preoccupied. So let me go up here and eat him, or maybe, you know, let me get more for my money here, and you know, I'll get an extra little meal eating that bait ball too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Frank, I know as long as you've been out there on the water, you've dealt with lots of people, been lots of places, and you've still got quite a few sponsors on your string. So tell us about your sponsors a little bit. I know that,
yeah,
I mean, that's important. Sponsorships are getting more difficult to come by. If you've got any, you're doing something right.
yeah, obviously, you know, yeah, I mean, we're seeing in the bass world, you know, a lot of the anglers are losing sponsorships. You know, same thing in the crappie world. I mean, you know, economy's not doing that great. You know, I think people are still going fishing, but they're, you know, kind of keeping their money in their pocket or having to spend it on other things. So they're not really buying new stuff. But, you know, obviously Mid-Kansas Marine, where I got my boat, you know, I've been unfortunate enough with a lot of problems and, you know, keeping them busy, you know, with coordinating with the companies from the trailer and all that. You know, matter of fact, after this, I got to take it back, get two new axles on it and about four or five other things I got to look at. But actually before coming here, I noticed some fluid on my trailer and ended up being a hub seal. And so they got that replaced so I can make it down here. You know, Be Down Outdoors, that's what I got my mounts on, the front and the graphs. You know, they make pretty much any type of mount that you need. Of course, Easy Drift, we just got done talking about their action bait balls, but they also have, you know, towels. They got cable management systems. You know, I got that on my trolling motor to keep my wires in place for my forward-facing sonar and all that. You know, mad crappie jigs, power poles. You know, power poles are, especially me fishing by myself, are very useful. You know, I can put them down and keep my boat in one place, you know, when I'm around the bank. And then I also have my trolling motors hooked up to them so I can put them down and use my trolling motors as brakes and stop me. ProTough Baits, we talked about. Sky's the Limit Fiberglass Repair and Detail. He's actually here in Missouri, in Clinton, Deepwater, Missouri, up by Truman Lake area. Young kid that used to work for Tracker fixing boats and decided to go on his own and been very successful at it. So
good for him. We always like to see that.
Yes, definitely. Crappie Monster, you know, they have some plastics. They have a 3 and 5 inch plastic that I'll use sometimes when, you know, I really want to go big. But also we got that catfish in with a with the pro net, you know.
That jig looked pretty tiny in his big mouth. I mean, his mouth looked like a 5 gallon bucket.
You know? Luckily I was able to get his head head in the net. You know, the pro nets, they come with a deeper plastic net, and you know, was able to lift it in the boat with that.
two tries though.
Yeah, first time he flopped out, and I didn't have a really good handle on it.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about canine fishing. Obviously, you know, Bass Pro, you know, I'm sponsored regionally in Kansas. My main office is Cabela's down in Wichita, Kansas. You know, they've treated me good.
Awesome.
You know, and I get to do special things with them and interact with the local people. You know, right. I've done the kids fishing that they've had the last 2 years. So, you know, there's special need kids that, you know, get excited catching a fish. And then there's kids that never caught a fish before. And,
right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Getting to see them catch their first fish, and they're even the excitement on their parents as they're taking pictures of it is, you know, something that's great. And,
oh, absolutely. Well, I got to hand it to you, Frank. Of course, it's called Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast. I think you're living the dream.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, it was, you know, I said when I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional baseball player or a fisherman. And, you know, granted, crappie fishing, it's hard to make a living off of it, tournament fishing. But, you know, I've done pretty good. And, you know, I can't complain where I'm at. And then, you know, I get a guide and teach people how to fish or fish better. And stuff like that. So, I mean,
got to be a great deal of satisfaction that comes from that. And I tell, you know, particularly all the younger guys that I deal with, I've helped several over years get business established. And I said, I know you're doing this because you love to fish, you know, and that's all great. And maybe you love to help people learn to fish, but do realize that what you're doing is extremely important to the future of fishing.
Yes.
Because so many people anymore, so many people don't figure things out for themselves. They want to look to a Frank to help them cut light years off of that learning curve, because if they get interested in fishing, they want to go out and start catching fish right away. And they can do that with guides. And again, you and I both know, we've watched it for decades. Families will take their saved up money and go to a lake for the week, and they maybe do a lot of different things. But if you're at a lake, a fishing lake, what do? You spend most of your time fishing, and I've seen people be so disappointed because they spend several days and don't catch a lot of fish. Hey, save a few more dimes and pay Frank to take you fishing.
Yes.
Because that guides, and I've never been with a guide that wasn't a good teacher. You know, they'll go through the trouble to tell you about the fish and the habitat and the structure and the gear and the whole nine yards. So just a one-day guide feed, you learn tons of things that you can use for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Am I telling the truth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd recommend anybody, especially if they're taking their kids for the first time, to get a guide. And, you know, that way the kids are pretty much guaranteed to catch fish. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I even, you know, I'd have my daughter fish some local tournaments with me and, you know, this middle of summer and, you know, before all this forward-facing sonar stuff. And, you know, we'd hardly catch any fish at all. And, you know, and I think, you know, that I'm sure that, she, you know, at some point she didn't want to be really wanting to fish anymore because
of exactly. And of course, kids, small they are, the shorter the attention span. But if you're on vacation, the kids are not having fun. Nobody's having fun. Yep. So hire a guide. Well, as we wrap it up here, I would encourage you people. There's several media folks here. If you happen to know these names, watch for the social media posts. There'll be hard articles. There'll be, Facebook, all kinds of stuff coming out, lots of websites. But the media folks here include Brad Wiegemann, Mike Jones, Ashley Kelly, that's Wildlife, Overdose TV, Bill Cooper. I do the, of course, the Living Dream Outdoor podcast. There's a Mike Baker with a YouTube channel, Ken McBroom with a Rambling Angler. That's a pretty new online magazine. He's doing a terrific job. So look Ken McBroom and the Rambling Angler up. Dave Mall Outdoor Writer from Kalamazoo, Michigan. I know he writes for Midwest Outdoors. There's a Juliana Wallace Robb with Southern Me Sweet Tea radio show out of Natchez, Mississippi. So there's lots of opportunity to catch what's going on here this week. So be sure and pay attention and, hey, comment. Let us know what we did right, what we did wrong. We did great. We caught a 40-pound catfish.
Yeah. Got the biggest fish so far this all right. week.
Yeah. Well, Frank, kind of to wrap things up here, tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want to schedule a fishing trip.
Yeah. You know, right now I guide all over Kansas. You know, a little bit of extra money if I got to travel. You know, if there might be some opportunities, I might guide in other states, but if you want to contact me, phone number 660-890-4453. You can look me up on Facebook. Emails clearedhotfishing@gmail.com. So, you know, send me a private message or whatever if you want to go on a guide trip. You know, I'll do anything from, you know, I've had guys wanting to learn how I find fish in tournaments, and so we'll, you know, I'll go into tournament mode and we'll go scan and search and then catch some fish and move and keep doing that. And then there's guys that just want to try to catch big fish. And then there's people that just, you know, want to catch meat.
You betcha. Well, I can tell you, folks, I can stand for Frank because I've fished on several lakes with him and he's never failed to put fish in the boat. And boy, did he put them in the boat today. I just hadn't got over that big catfish yet. But, hey, from Frank Heidesek and myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your dreams as well. I'm Bill Cooper.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.